Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We're recording!
We're recording!
Yay! Oh yes. My god, I am so nervous. This is just a lot and I'm scared. Okay. Welcome everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where two black ass girls invade the whitest show on earth.
The Bachelorette.
I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And we just watched the premiere of Becca's season. I have so many thoughts and feelings, and I had a lot of visceral reactions watching the show. I'm so excited. The preview looks crazy. This episode here was crazy. Like, I just feel like there's so much to talk about, and it's a new season. Yeah. We did The Bachelor with Ari, but this is a whole new world right now that we're entering. And I'm very excited. Maybe it's excitement. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's overwhelming excitement.
Overwhelming. The first episode is always so overwhelming. Yeah. I think that's what it is. Just overwhelming excitement. Okay. First, like, let's just get into it. What are your initial thoughts, Justine?
So my initial thoughts as soon as I clicked that off button on that TV was that this is why we wait through the most garbage season of The Bachelor. This good, nice, juicy, grade A ribeye filet mignon of a bachelorette season.
Yes!
Because that was so exhausting. It was laborious.
Mm-hmm. The what?
Ari's season was laborious.
Oh, Ari.
That's the word I would use to describe it.
I don't know what word that is. I missed that one on the SATs, but okay. Whatever you say.
It was just hard work. It was just hard work.
Yeah, yes, it was. It was.
And just exhausting, and I am just so happy for this messy, good juice. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be a little bit more relatable. Even though she's dating 25 guys at the same time, and I've never even dated like 3 guys at the same time, I think it's going to be really, I think she's going to just have some issues that everybody can relate to. So I'm really excited about that. What are your initial thoughts, friend?
I agree. I'm just excited because we never, as women, get to see, like, the funk that men go through.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's just amazing to just be able to watch 25 or however many guys in a house crying and going through all the emotions that, as women, we know very well. We go through them. We know them very well. We get clowned and shamed for being emotional and all that shit. And now we get to watch these guys go through it. So that, more than anything, that I'm very excited about.
Mm-hmm.
My initial thoughts. Okay. First things first, Colton is my baby daddy. Sorry, y'all. I'm so sorry. It's definitely going to be an immaculate conception because he is a virgin. Which, I mean, we'll have more on that later.
More on that later, yeah.
That honestly just made me love him even more. But I'm having just anytime he came on screen, I was just having a reaction to it. So I don't know what I'm going through, why he is triggering me in this way, but I love Colton. Also, the guys overall, it's just I think it's a very interesting mix of guys. You have some like stunners. You have Colton, you have Blake, Ricky. Yeah. Ricky, I think, is really good looking.
I love Ricky.
I know you love some Ricky. Look at your face right now. I'm looking at Justine on Skype and she is like going through it.
My contacts are about to fall out.
Yes, Ricky is fine. Criston, whatever his name is, the basketball player, gorgeous. So you have them, like some just straight stunners. Then you have a whole bunch of duds. Like, just a collection of what I like to call generic white man numbers 1 through 10. I'm going to be mixing them up all season. They're just not giving me any life whatsoever.
Yeah.
Just very just boring or I don't even know how to categorize them yet. I still need to get to know them, I guess. So it's just an interesting collection of people. Okay, before we get into the recap, though, we do have, of course, some church announcements. Without your program, we are at church right now, y'all. First things first. So before we get into the emails, Justine and I do have a Facebook page for the podcast. If you search Two Black Girls, One Rose on Facebook, we are there. Please share us with your family, your friends. You can write us a review. You can write us a little note. Just if you're someone that uses Facebook a lot, we're there now. So go and find us. Second thing I wanted to say is, please, we urge you, do not send us any spoilers.
Oh, my God.
Don't
please.
Tag us any spoilers. We get a lot of emails now and tags on Twitter and things. Very excited. I'm always excited to see what you guys send, but I'm urging you, please don't send us any spoilers about the season. I know some people love spoilers. We do not. We don't want to know any major plot points because it'll really just taint just the recaps every episode.
Yeah.
So I don't mind any juice and tea and stuff like that, as long as it doesn't, you know, spoil anything for the season. Mm-hmm. So just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah.
Okay, what emails did we get?
Now we got some good emails this week. You Floridians, you guys really came through.
Because all my Florida shaming last week. God. And I'm actually in Florida right now, guys. Yep. That's why Justine and I are on Skype. I'm in Florida right now, so. And it's been a good trip so far. People have been very nice to me, so.
Oh, jeez. But Molly emailed us. She's from a small town in Florida. She's from Niceville, which is so insane to me that that's a real place.
Wow.
She just emailed us about how Floridians are a little kooky. But then she also emailed us a little bit of tea that Jean Blanc is apparently also from Niceville.
What? He's from her same town?
Yeah.
I totally missed that.
Next up is Will, male. So this is a rare sighting in the inbox.
Yes, I love the male listeners.
Yes, love them. So hi, Will. And he emailed us some very odd tea about Lincoln. Just about him having some weird bathroom sanitary habits at his old workplace.
People and this was like an things. Article, wasn't it? This was an article in like...
This is an article in lifeandstylemagazine.com.
So, very credible. Yeah. Very credible source.
Pretty credible. Like, and also just nasty. and then Vanessa. Vanessa, girl, hey. We see you on Twitter. We see you in the inbox. Hey, girl, how you doing?
Hey, girl, hey.
She emailed us an entire mathematical algorithm about the winners and who does what and our thoughts and our takes on it.
Right. So what she was saying in the email was about if you watch the previous Bachelorettes, who they gave their first impression rose to was who ended up winning the show.
Mm-hmm.
So that just says, to me, that says a lot about just women and knowing, you know, who to choose.
Yep.
And if you look at the track record between the Bachelorette and the Bachelor, Bachelorette has a better track record versus the Bachelor, where the only person who's still married to their original choice is Sean and Catherine. They're like the crowning glory of the Bachelor franchise.
Yeah.
So either you need to be a woman.
Yep.
Or you need to be Sean, who was a Christian man.
Yep.
Remember that?
Uh-huh.
He was a Christian man. So you got to be bathed in the blood of Jesus for this process to work for you, basically. So very interesting take from Vanessa there. Thank you.
Thanks, boo.
All right. Are we going to just jump right in?
We're going to
jump into this recap?
Go right in. Yep.
Oh, Lord. All right. So the episode opens up with Becca, who is bawling and looking at just old Polaroids of Ari, essentially. Mm-hmm. And she's talking about how this year has just been a complete roller coaster for her. You know, we see the flashback of the proposal, this dreaded proposal that Ari did. Lord have mercy. And we see a lot of, you know, behind the scenes pictures and footage of them, you know, when they were together and all happy, hunky-dory, all that jazz. So then we get a flashback to Ari's despicable breakup with Becca, because we just have to be reminded yet again,
again
of this tragedy. And his whole foolishness again of where he said, I will never forget this, when he said this to Becca. I felt so bad for her. He said some shit about, like, the more I'm with you, the more I'm losing my chance with Lauren. You remember he said that? I was like, I can't. Oh, my God.
Oh my
and so,
God.
Yeah, we had to go through all that foolishness again. And then we see Becca, you know, just walking along in the snow.
Yes.
Saying how she, you know, went back to Minnesota and, you know, just had to basically get her life back together. And she reminds us again about her dad who had passed away and how he was just an amazing dad and an amazing husband. We see her with her mother, and was that Aunt Rhonda? Who was that she was sitting with?
I don't know. Maybe it's her sister.
That's her sister. She looks very different from her.
Yeah.
She had wild hair. She reminded me of, like, Bette Midler from,
yes,
like, Hocus Pocus or something. Anyways, so she's sitting with her mom and she's sitting her mom and Bette Midler.
Bette Midler.
She's sitting with her mom and Aunt Rhonda, I'm assuming. I don't know. And they're just like, you know what? This was what was supposed to happen.
Hold on. I just have a thought about this.
Mm-hmm.
Her family literally looked like the physical embodiment of shaking my damn head. Like,
her mom was looking like,
her mom, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. If she knew how to say, she would.
She would.
Oh my God.
No, that's true. They were like, you know what? Ari ain't shit. We are so tired of dealing with this. Girl,
yeah,
it was supposed to happen. Now you the bachelorette. Let's go. So Becca, she's just thankful for all the support that people have been showing her. She just went through one of the most public, disgusting breakups ever. Even if you didn't watch The Bachelor, you knew about the breakup. Like, everybody knew. And she's just, you know, ready and excited for this new, exciting chapter. So then we see Becca, she arrives in the mansion. I loved her outfit in this scene.
I don't remember it. What'd she
She think? Was wearing, like, this frilly blue, I want to say polka dot, like, mini dress.
Yes.
She had, like, the beige leather jacket. Mm-hmm. She had the stilettos. Her legs, she had legs for days.
Yep.
She just looked amazing. She looked like a bachelorette, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and she was doing that aerial yoga earlier.
Oh, she was.
That is so expensive.
Is it? I don't know.
I looked it up on Groupon, and I was like, never will I ever be doing any of this.
You can afford the Groupon.
I can't afford the Groupon.
Oh God. Woo. Yeah, that's that up. Like, you really need upper body strength and core and all that shit. So I'm sure she was, you know, doing a lot of that before the show, getting in shape.
Yeah.
So anyway, she arrives at the mansion, and inside we have Rachel, Rachel Lindsay, Caitlin Bristow, and JoJo, whose last name I do not know. And they are all there, ready to give her their, you know, bachelorette wisdom and all that jazz.
Quick question: how many of those people are married?
None, all just still engaged.
Just wondering. Okay. All right.
Still engaged.
Okay.
Rachel, to be fair, she was last season.
Yeah,
so
she was just last season. Yeah.
She got time or whatever. JoJo was the season before, so I'm not sure what's happening there. Caitlin now.
Is
Caitlin
never
was
going
bachelorette.
To marry him.
Stop.
has no plans on getting
Caitlin
married.
Caitlin has been with Sean for, this is now, we're in, she was three seasons ago.
Mm.
I'm not sure what's happening there with the plans for the wedding, but they're still together, so I guess that's saying something. Loving Rachel's hair.
I loved it too. I loved the unit.
Loved it. Yes. Good. It was like a nice, I'm thinking this was like a 24-inch virgin Brazilian Remy hair. Well, that's that good hair.
Yeah.
Very good hair. Straight from India. So JoJo reminds us that she actually can really relate to Becca because she went through a very similar experience with Ben Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
So Ben Higgins had told her that he loved her, and she's thinking she was going to win the whole damn thing, and then she got blindsided when he sent her home.
Mm-hmm.
So she went through a very kind of similar, not as bad as Becca, I want to say, because Becca was full-on engaged to this man, but she went through a similar kind of heartbreak in a way. And so, you know, they're chit-chatting about that. Now, my girl Rachel here had the very wise idea, in my opinion, to sage this house.
Yeah, yeah.
Cleanse. This is very necessary. This place needs a cleansing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bad juju in this place. Now, Caitlin was sitting there like, what is this? I don't understand. The saging, like, what? Just so confused. She's the type that's living in a house that she ain't never blessed.
Ooh, with, like, no Bibles in it?
Ain't no Bibles there.
Oh.
She moved in. She didn't do no sage. Nobody came and did a prayer.
Did a prayer? Oh,
yes.
No.
Yes. When I moved into my little apartment, my mom did a whole sage thing. We did a whole spiritual rejuvenation of that apartment because who the hell knows what the hell was going on in there before I lived in there?
Who knows? We have a Bible in every room.
Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So she over there talking about what is this, and I knew exactly what Rachel was doing.
That's pretty basic though, to sage a place is like
a place.
Yeah.
You're about to have an experience to find your husband. Like, I need this whole place cleansed and blessed.
Yeah,
okay?
For sure.
So I loved that they did that and they showed that. Now JoJo, this is what you said earlier. JoJo reminded Becca that all three of those girls gave their first impression rose to the guy that they eventually chose in the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just made us as viewers just think, okay, whoever she gives the first impression rose, that guy, based on statistics or whatever you want to call this, is probably going to be around for a little bit. So then time to meet the guys.
Mm-hmm.
So they do the little, I don't know if they call this, like, they
home
go...
Home video, I guess?
Home videos?
Yeah.
I wonder how they choose which guys to show and how that whole thing just happens.
I know, me too.
So, the first guy is Clay, black guy.
Oh, yeah, Clay,
30, NFL player. He's doing his little drills. He's been in the NFL for 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about how he doesn't really fit the, you know, NFL fuckboy stereotype, essentially. He didn't say that, but that's essentially what he was getting at.
Yeah.
So then we meet Clay's family. He comes from this very big, like, biracial family.
Mm-hmm.
His dad's black, mom's white. Everyone
and you
looks,
were right. His body is, like, on
his body
point.
Is on point.
Yep.
On point. And Clay just seems like a very nice guy. He seems like a guy that parents love.
Yeah,
like anybody could bring him home to meet their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
mm-hmm.
he would just fit right in and just charm the shit out of them. Then, right after Clay, Garrett.
Ew. Oh my god. I don't even know what I was doing. I think I just went right into my food and my drinks like, Garrett.
Tone the hell out. So Garrett, 29, Reno, Nevada. Nevada, whatever. He was speaking in this weird, like, Minnesota accent.
So strange.
He was, like, cracking himself up. Like, nobody was laughing at this. I don't know what this was. Then we see him doing his, like, river fishing, hiking, all his, like, outdoorsy foolishness. So now, we need to talk about Mr. Garrett, because I know we got some tea
on
this here Trump supporter. So, just seeing what we got.
We got some tea on Garrett through a thread of a young lady named Ashley. She was tagged in a bunch of the Instagram photos that he likes, and I guess an Instagram account of, like, I don't know, like, bigot.com? Like, I don't know who these people are. But it's all these crazy memes about social justice issues, right? A lot about Colin Kaepernick protesting and just everything against what we stand for on this podcast and mm-hmm. what I think the basis of America stands for, honestly, as well. Mm. What really stuck out to me was the one that said, when I grew up, boys did this, and it was two boys, like, shooting in a field mm-hmm. with little army hats, and then it's, like, what boys do now, and they have, like, winged liner on and lashes. And mm-hmm. that really made me upset, because, as just a makeup wearer and lover, just that men don't have the freedom to express themselves and create. A lot of
people... It could be argued to be either, like, homophobic or... Yeah. Shaming people who identify on the gender spectrum.
Yep.
It was being very just prejudiced.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
And the thing is, about a lot of people in the comments of the thread, they were like, oh, I don't like politics in my reality TV. But this isn't politics.
No.
What he was talking about. Mm-mm. And even what he liked was not politics.
A lot of the screenshots were disturbing. It was like... things with, like, Tommy Lahren, that racist yes. dumb bitch.
Yeah.
Like, things with her that he was liking. It was things about just, like, guns mm-hmm. and a lot of, like, protest things against liberals.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just very pro-conservative MAGA Trump America.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Garrett, fuck you.
Garrett, you gotta go, boo. You gotta go.
You gotta go. You just gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
So that's him. So we're going in with that context. Now that we have the context of Garrett, we clearly don't fuck with him at all, and we'll be clowning his MAGA ass all damn season.
Every week.
Every week, every moment we can. Yeah. So, moving right along, Jordan, 26, professional model, allegedly, supposedly.
That photo shoot, when I tell you I fell out. That man had a singular man at the camera, and one of those, not even a light box, it was like a light flag. Oh, he was just taking random pictures.
It's random, like his friend with an iPhone, mm-hmm. taking pictures by the lake in Crystal Falls, Florida, where the fuck he was. I can't. He just kept going on and on about modeling mm-hmm. and how taxing it is as a model, and... just all his model foolishness. Yeah. This man 100% does not have a contract with any major modeling company.
There's no way.
Like, whatsoever. So, go sit down, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got to see Lincoln.
Oh, yeah. So another, cute.
You know, man of the African diaspora, because he is from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Born in Nigeria. We saw his cute little baby photos.
Yeah.
He was talking about how his mom has been giving him a hard time mm-hmm. about... getting married. Now, you know that's an understatement, because he is coming from a Nigerian mama.
Yeah.
So
he should have gotten married 3 years ago.
3 years ago. And now he's on this here show trying to marry this white woman from Minnesota. Like, she don't even know who her son is anymore.
Oh, God.
Next was Joe, who we loved.
Oh, my God.
We
loved favorite. Joe.
You really love Joe.
I love Joe.
Loved Joe from the cast photos. Joe's 31, Chicago, owns the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his accent is not my favorite. I didn't know what a Chicago accent was. Uh-huh. Now I recognize it, and it's not my favorite.
Oh my God, it's my favorite thing ever.
Really?
Oh my God, it's so cute.
I don't know what to categorize it. It, like, has, like, Boston elements.
Yeah.
And it's, like, harshness.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not as... it's not as coarse as Boston, but it has its own little thing to it. Either way, I don't like it, but loved Joe nonetheless. He reminds me of just the way he talks, and he was talking about, like, the tomatoes in the grocery store and mm-hmm. some shit he was talking about. He reminds me of, like, a 90s like rom-com best friend character.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, who's got mail? And he was like the best friend to Tom Hanks or whoever the hell was in that damn movie.
You know what it is, too, is like his leather jacket that he wears with like the zip.
Aww.
Like, that's just, he reminds me, he would just be like a really good husband.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I think he'd be very thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I think this. This is coming from the basis of nothing.
Literally,
but just
40 seconds on a screen.
But we both just got really good vibes from him for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Okay, next we saw Jean Blanc. Another black guy.
Yes. Right.
From Haiti, originally. Okay. He's okay, so he's into cologne and watches and ties and like very like gentlemanly things. I thought he called it a term. I missed that.
No, right. I definitely missed that. Oh my god,
I was making this up then. So he's into like the finer things in life, I guess.
I guess in his, you know what? Let me not. He's into the finer things in life, but he also has a $1,200 cologne, which is a solid month's rent in New York City, and maybe you live in Florida. So that's like 3 months' rent where you are.
That's true.
Like, what are you doing, my guy?
Like my guy, 3 months' rent on a bottle of fragrance,
a bottle of juice.
I mean, everybody has their passions.
Everybody has their, like, maybe, not even, a passion, a vice, even I would call that. If you're spending $1,200 on one thing, that's officially a vice.
Absolutely. That is just overconsumption of foolishness.
Yeah.
That is a vice for sure. But whatever. We'll see more of Jean Blanc.
Yeah, later on.
Later on. Next, my baby daddy Colton.
Yeah, boo.
My boo. So I literally gasped at this moment. I think I texted you like, I just gasped. Who is this man? So first of all, his outfit that he had on, his little prom, he was like shooting the ball, like tossing a football, I think, with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell he had on. It was like a velvet zip down.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Hoodie with some leather sleeves. I don't know. But then I saw that gold cross chain. And that to me just screams white boy swag.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a thing. I have a little weakness for white boys who exhibit any Negro tendencies. That's what I'm trying to, I think that's the way to put it.
Oh my God.
Okay, quick side note. There is this football player, white guy, Travis Kelce.
Let me tell you something about Travis Kelce.
What you know about Travis Kelce?
No, I know about Travis Kelce. Black girl know about Travis Kelce?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you watch his show? Because he had a show.
No, I don't trust men like that. I don't trust white men who can dance that well. I don't like it.
Oh, yeah, he's known for his touchdown dances.
Have you seen him, Millie Rock?
Oh, God, I can't. Just melting. Mm. So Travis Kelce, I don't know if anybody watched this. He had a show on, I want to say VH1 or Bravo, messy channels, where it was basically The Bachelor. Like, he was looking for a woman. It was full of black girls. He ended up choosing a black girl at the end. He's not with her currently. He's with another black girl who is gorgeous and hilarious. I follow her, like, separately on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
But Colton was giving me Travis Kelce vibes, and Travis Kelce is, like, my guilty pleasure white boy, so.
That's a strong reach.
The vibes. It was the vibes. Okay. It was the vibes. Okay. Travis Kelce, he's on just the other end of Negro tendencies.
Yeah.
Like, he really got them.
Like, you could just bring him to La Marina and he would just fit right in.
Oh, he would thrive. But Colton's giving me the vibes. He might have it exactly there, but he's giving me the vibes.
Okay.
But also, I just love Colton. He has this nonprofit, the Colton Underwood Legacy Foundation, which is about, you know, raising awareness for cystic fibrosis, or his cousin suffers from cystic fibrosis, and I just, you know, I love me a man in the nonprofit world.
Yeah,
that is my jam. I tend to go for just regular schmegular nonprofit guys who are broke, but he is an NFL guy, so he at least has some money behind him. So he is extra my type. So yeah, that was my boo. So now Becca arrives at the mansion. Love her. Let's talk about her dress.
Love the dress.
She was wearing a, it was like an off-white, like, cream, right? It was like a bead, it was like fully beaded. Like, all types of beads. Looks like a very, very heavy dress. Beaded halter, very low back. Loved it. It hugged her all the way down. I could never wear this dress because I have boobs.
Yeah, me too.
You have more boobs than me, so not even an option. But it looked phenomenal on her, so I'll give her that. So she rolls up to the mansion, and dusty ass Chris Harrison is standing waiting for her. He just schlepped himself down the stairs from his nap upstairs, because you know he don't do nothing.
No, he don't do anything.
No, can we get Chris Harrison's job? We would turn this show out. Because he don't do nothing. He don't add no, like, comic relief. Mm-mm. He doesn't really serve any, like, unique value. Am I being too mean here?
No. No, he really doesn't add anything. He's so comfortable in his position of not doing shit.
Of straight doing nothing.
He's now just like, Chris Harrison could literally be anybody.
He's basically just there now out of just longevity.
Yeah.
Because he's not really bringing much value at all as a host to the show. So, I mean, I'm trying to be harsh, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you know, no, whatever.
Nothing. So anyways, he greets her and, you know, they kiki in. So the first limo pulls up. First out the limo is my boo Colton. Who... Let's bring up, just rewind real quick to Rachel's season. Who was first out the limo? Peter. My husband.
Yes. Peter.
There's a theme here. So Colton comes out. He's wearing his, like, navy and black suit, which I love.
Yeah, I like
that. I saw a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Navy and black suit. He had this, like, these confetti bomb things.
That was so cute.
It was very cute. I liked it.
And didn't he say, let's get it popping?
He did. Yes, he did. Negro tendencies. What did I say? What you know about popping?
With no G. No G at the end.
No G at the end. Popping with a little asterisk.
Yep, with the...
No asterisk. What is that?
Apostrophe.
So he had the little confetti. They lit off the confetti. He was cute. He seemed really nervous. He seemed like he really just wanted to say his lines and just get the fuck in the house. Like, he was so nervous. Right after Colton was Grant, who...
Oh my god, I forgot about him.
Yeah, not a looker. Not a looker at all. And his first thing was, you know, I have so much respect for you, for what you went through. Why the guys feel the need to mention Ari all the time?
I don't know.
Like, just don't do it. Just have a whole new outlook. She's done with this. Like, enough. Then out was Clay. Clay is so precious.
I know. He was so nervous.
So nervous. He's so adorable. He's very, like, cuddly and just sweet. I loved his little line. He said, I'm a football player, so I've caught a lot of catches, but if I land you, you'll be the biggest catch of my life.
Yeah, some shit like that. Oh my god, what is this?
It was so corny and adorable, just like Clay.
It was at the end when he said, "I'll catch it inside," I was like, no.
Yeah.
No.
You went too far, Clay.
Actually, you should just get right back on that bus and
no!
I can't say that. He's biracial. He's one of us.
He's one of us. Yep. You gotta support him.
Gotta support
him. Right after him was Jean. Jean Blanc. You notice how he introduced himself like James Bond? He says Jean. Jean Blanc. I was like, nigga, please.
Ew.
And so his thing was to teach her something in French. No.
I'm going to tread lightly.
Jean Blanc is Haitian, yep. So French is French Creole. They're not one and the same, but very similar.
Very similar, yeah.
Is part of his like native tongues and whatnot. His accent was a little shaky.
Yeah, no, it wasn't good.
I wanted to hear some real like strong French, like make me swoon and bend at the knees kind of French. It sounded very Americanized.
Yeah, it just sounds
I don't
like
know how to describe it.
Really been affected by Boston.
It was like a Bostonian speaking in a French accent. I don't know. I just wasn't impressed with the Frenchness of the accent. But anyways, he taught her, let's do the damn thing, which I don't want to have to say this phrase anymore.
Ever again.
So,
yeah.
Ever again. I wasn't the biggest fan of his suit.
Yeah, I didn't love it either. It was black and white, but it had like a pattern on it, right?
Yeah, and it was very shiny.
Yeah. Oof.
Shiny. It had a round lapel, not like the nice square one. It was like a round, very fancy, like black tie kind of look.
Yeah.
It was a nice suit, but for this occasion, I don't know. Something about it was off. She did say he smelled good, so that's good.
I mean, for $1,200, yeah.
If he better. It smelled like roses and money. Next out the limo was Connor.
Mm-hmm.
So now Connor here. Okay, and I need to talk about this.
Okay.
So this is like a male fashion thing where they're showing the ankles. They're wearing like
these
things. My dude Connor had on some capris. What this nigga got on some pedal pushers? His whole damn calf was out. It wasn't just the ankle. His whole calf doing too much.
Yeah, doing the most.
Too much. Way too much. I'm like, you pushing this male trend a little too far. Mm-hmm. I was not a fan. Connor is cute, though.
Yeah, he is.
I liked his face.
He is cute.
He's very good looking. Yeah. Because we were both kind of iffy on him mm-hmm. from the cast bios because his hair is very tall.
Yes, right.
But the face, got a nice face though. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I think he had a dimple there, so, love dimples. Next out the limo was Joe from Chicago. And his accent was just in full force.
Yeah, full effect.
Full effect, yep. Really strong. He was dumb nervous. Mm-hmm. He... whatever he had planned to say, he just totally fucked it up, and he was kicking himself as he walked in the house.
That killed me, because he is one of the older guys. He's 31. The rest of those guys are, like, all in their 20s.
Yeah.
So I thought he was really going to come through like a man, like, really, like, take charge and whatever, but that didn't happen.
No.
But it's okay.
No. The nerves. The nerves.
Yeah.
But we have to remember, because I don't... was it in a past interview, or... I read this somewhere. Anyways, they have all of the people, all the contestants, like, sequestered in a hotel for, like, 3 days. And then suddenly the producers pop up and they're like, it's time. And then they all get ready. And then they literally leave the hotel and go straight to limo entrances. Like, so you don't even have time to mentally, physically, emotionally prepare yourself.
Yeah.
So I could tell just a lot of the guys were super, super nervous. And it's just... gotta remember that context. Like, they literally just came from the hotel where they were holed up for
days. Yeah.
Days, yeah. After Joe was John. John, for now, we're gonna claim as a person of color.
Yes. Until he says otherwise.
Until he says otherwise, my dude looks like he is Waysian. I'm assuming white and Asian.
Wow, I've never heard Waysian.
Yeah, Waysian? Blasian? Black and Asian?
Yes, I've heard Blasian. I've heard Blasian. Yeah. Yeah, definitely, though.
So, until he says otherwise, I'm claiming him, because mm-hmm. he looked like he got some flavor up in him. He gave some corny joke about his parents, something, I don't know, next. Like,
yeah, whatever. I thought he was much cuter in motion. Another one cuter in motion than he was in the photo.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Cuter in motion. Yes, exactly. Right after John was Leo.
Leo, yeah.
The Jason Momoa,
yep.
Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones lookalike. Now, he came out the limo. He had on a very messy-ass top knot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why does this look so terrible? But it was part of his whole... It was part of his
act. I knew it. As soon as I saw that top knot, I was like, he's going to tumble that down like Rapunzel. I know it. I was so excited. I was so pumped.
I can't wait to see it cascade down. It did. Them curls came rolling down the mountain. Sure did. She did a fresh deep conditioner right before the show.
Even a protein pack.
Might have done a protein treatment at that. A little hot oil treatment.
A little VO5.
So the hair came tunneling down. Becca was all googly eyed. Because mm-hmm. she's probably never dated a guy with all that hair.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's impressed with the hair. Plus also, just overall, men with hair and beards and hairy men are having a moment.
They are.
They're having a strong moment. Yep. 10 years ago, nobody was checking for mm-mm. top knots and beards and all that shit. But now, that's like the go-to thing. Yeah. So, Mr. Leo, he knows he has that going for him, for sure. Mm-hmm. Right out the limo after Leo was Jordan, the model from Crystal River. He's just so immature.
Yeah.
He goes in the house. He's telling everybody how he spent 6 hours handpicking his outfit.
His outfit, which was way too tight. Did you see him walking from the back?
Way too tight. That button was about to pop.
That moon in the back, Jordan? You've been doing your squats, my friend. I know it. I can see.
His butt?
That moon was shining. Full moon. Okay? His butt, it was huge in the suit. I was like, oh my God. The
suit was too damn tight.
It was so tight. His clothes were screaming. You know who you can hear clothes screaming? Because they're so tight.
Buttons were like screaming for help.
Oh my God. And the seams on the pants were like, no.
What you're talking about. Yes. Every seam was like hollering for help. That suit was so tight. Why is your suit so ill-fitting? So I don't get it. Men, like, don't... Buying a suit, you don't buy too many suits. Unless you're... Right. I mean, he's a model.
Yeah.
He ain't buying all that suit. He barely is paying rent. Like... This is like your one good suit mm-hmm. that you got fitted. Why is it ill-fitting? Bruh. You had one job. I can't. Oh my God. I'm crying. So Jordan's talking about his gray suit. He's all excited about his gray suit. Mm-hmm. Gray suit.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna have a gray suit. Next out the limo is Ricky with a gray suit. Like, hello. Gray is not that, like, unique.
It's a pink. Dude.
It's not pink. That's what I'm saying. It's not a pink suit. You either come in a gray suit, a navy suit, or a black suit.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Yep.
Hello. So Ricky is so fine.
Oh.
He has a beautiful smile.
Yeah.
He just looks like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Just like a nice, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he seems like somebody you just, like, hang out with. Yeah. With us and be, like, chill.
Yeah.
So he came out in his gray suit, just looking beautiful mm-hmm. next to Wack-Ass Jordan. After Ricky is... I initially didn't remember his name. I had to go back online and look this up because he's just nondescript. Nick.
Yeah, I remember him.
Nick, the blonde, he looked 15 in his photo. Mm-hmm. He looks like his age now. So he appeared in a race car driver outfit.
My
and
God.
Then stripped it off and had a suit on.
Like,
what was the thought process behind that?
You know, my initial thought was that those are the beginning designs of his lawyer track suits that he's going to be selling on Instagram.
This is Josiah part two.
Yep. Mm-hmm. This is good. This is the beginning. This is first designs, first sketches.
Why? Mm-hmm. Why did you come out in the...
Horrible.
Like, why continue to remind her of Ari? Yeah. I don't understand why that's part of anybody's limo entrance. Mm-mm. Doesn't make any sense. And speaking of just more Ari reminders, Mike, the other guy with long hair, also had it up in a bun, mm-hmm. came with the cardboard cutout of Ari.
That was very frightening.
Frightening? Like, Ari in general is frightening.
Yeah.
Why a
yeah.
cardboard version of him? Like, I don't want to see that. And his whole justification was, you know, just so he can get a chance to see you as happy as you are tonight. And even Becca was like, this... Like, she had to like smile like, oh, thanks, but like no. She does not want this. Next was Garrett Trump came in his minivan, and to be fair, I thought this was a good idea.
I thought so too. Yeah,
I did. He rolled up in a minivan, talked about he really wants to be a good dad, can't wait to be a dad. Mm-hmm. In the van, they had like a diaper bag and a soccer ball and all kind of shit. It was a good move. I thought it was a good move.
It was.
I don't remember. Do black people drive minivans?
No.
Mm-mm. I don't think so. We have like... Cadillac XLTs.
Cadillacs, like. Ford Explorers. Black people love a Ford Explorer.
Next was Blake, mm-hmm. who we met during the after the final rose, where he came out on the horse. Yeah. Loved his cast bio and all of that. He looks so cute in his picture. Now he comes riding in on... At first I couldn't make it out. I was like...
I thought it was the same horse.
Dinosaur?
Dinosaur!
I didn't know what. He was on something so large. And I was like, what is this? Allegedly, it was an ox.
Yeah.
An oxen?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I didn't know that was a thing. So he rolls up. Becca seemed very excited to see him.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, it's so good to see you. It's, you know, she just seemed very over-the-top excited. I don't know if it was fake excitement or she really genuinely did seem like she was happy to see this dude.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, Blake came in with a very different outfit. Now, if Jordan wanted to be unique, this is what he would have done. Because Blake came in with the red blazer.
Yes, yes.
Black pants.
Mm-hmm.
Blake is also very tall. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't.
He's very tall.
Because
he was, like, towering over her. And then even a couple times throughout the episode when he was standing next to people, I was like, he looked like a tall-ass dude. But I liked his little line. He came in on the ox and he said, already my feelings are as strong as an ox.
That's so cute.
So cute. Love Blake. Love Blake. Next out the limo was Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln came in with some cake. He said it was his birthday?
Yes. Because last time it was his birthday.
Because you know she's standing there in that dress hungry as hell. And it's been like hours I've been standing there, you know? After that, we see Ryan, the banjo guy who I don't trust.
No, I don't like him.
Not a fan. And his, the same like floral blazer
thing.
Same one. After Ryan, hoo-wee.
Mm.
Criston?
Yep, Criston. Chris? Yeah.
Oh my god, he is gorgeous.
Criston looks like a life ruiner.
He looks like he will ruin your whole life.
Whole life.
He'll turn you crazy.
Yep.
I would lose all my friends at the end of this because y'all bitches would be tired of my ass going back to this nigga who treats me like pure garbage. Like,
or he just seems like the type that, like, if he doesn't answer you within 32 seconds, you're like, who's he with?
Yes.
You're standing outside his window like, where are you?
Yes. He's that type of guy that girls just literally lose their mind over because he's just so incredibly fine. Mm-hmm. It don't make no sense. Matt, he didn't have like a proper like intro. We didn't get to see his whole... Did we?
I don't think we did. No.
I don't know. We didn't get to see his whole intro. Mm-hmm. We just saw him walk out the limo and I was like, ooh, Jesus.
Yep.
Goddamn.
Mm-hmm.
After Chris Stone, we have Camille. Now, Camille's getting my nigga you ain't shit
like
award right here.
Garbage. Garbage.
Straight.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah. I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which, you know, is very important to me. But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helps me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
Garbage. So, this is part of his way to impress her. I don't know what the hell this shit was.
Yeah.
He walked halfway to her, and then he was like, come here. And so she's like, okay, and then walks towards him.
Which, that was nice of her. Because I would have been like, excuse me? What?
I'm wearing heels and you got on flats. Walk your ass over here. Like, so he was like, oh, you know, in a relationship, we got to meet 50-50. And then he started to like walk backwards a little bit and then was like, or let's do 60-40, implying that she would do the 60 and he would do the 40. And that's when she was like, okay, no.
Yeah.
Like, nigga, you ain't shit. Bye.
Like, you might as well go home now. Like,
go home. Nah. Now, next out the limo is who I said was last week. He looked like a Marvel villain.
Yes.
The Joker's half-brother, Jake. And as soon as he steps out, Becca's like, you look so familiar. Mm-hmm. And then she immediately recognizes him as a guy from Minneapolis who is an acquaintance of hers who she's met multiple times, and he kind of just plays it off, yeah, good to see you, you know, hug, kiss, go inside. And she's standing there like,
no, this is weird. No.
Like, this is weird. So this was very reminiscent of Nick Viall. Did you watch Nick Viall season?
No.
Mm-mm. At all. So Nick Viall's season, he had the same thing. A girl came out the limo. It was a girl that he had slept with, actually.
Yikes.
At Jade and Tanner, their, you know, bachelor people who fell in love on Bachelor in Paradise.
Okay.
The girl that came out the limo was Jade's bridesmaid at their wedding.
Oh.
And Nick was at the wedding. They hit it off. They ended up sleeping together and had a whole night, whatever. And a homegirl, he hadn't seen her since, and she comes popping out the limo. And he's like, what? So she lasted about two episodes, I think. And then he sent her home. Yeah. Same thing. Intentions were just like, what are you doing here? Like, you have my number. You could have reached out. Like,
and you already tapped that girl. You what? Oh, no.
And we've been there, done that. Yeah. Like, I don't know. So yeah, that was that same kind of vibe going on there. So next up, not a limo, but a hearse pulls up.
Oh, my God. My note for this was literally doing the absolute.
Absolute most. Oh, like, he had a pun or a little line, and he was just running all the way with it to the point where this guy rented a hearse. And out pops Trent.
Pops. It's a flu.
Literally. Like, trampolined out the hearse. And was like, oh my God, when I heard you were Bachelorette, I literally died. But then you brought me back to life. Cute little line, but like the whole gimmick was like,
that was too much.
A lot. A real lot for that. Literally that one line. Okay, after Trent, we saw a quick glimpse of Christian.
Christian is the Mexican guy.
A man of color. Yeah. Very cute. We heard him speak. Did you hear him speak, like, real quick? He has a nice, deep voice. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He's a...
And accent, too.
And he had a little accent there. A little slight accent. Very cute. So, quick little glimpse of Christian. Back in the house, Jordan is still huffing and puffing, just talking about the fashion of the house.
Oh my God.
He did make me laugh, though. He said, first off, put on some socks. I had to laugh because I was thinking the same thing. All these people, these damn, just your soggy toes.
Yeah.
Shoes. No, it's hot. Ugh. But yeah, he's walking around acting as if he's the best dressed, and he's just not.
Definitely not.
Like, just doing too much. Back to the limos, and we have David, who comes out in a chicken suit, and he is just chanting bacaw.
Yeah,
which is, I guess, the sound of a chicken. Well, is that? I don't...
Well, the chicken sound is cuckaw, and then he morphed it into becca.
But, okay. Clever. I was lost for a second, because I was like, I can't remember the sound a chicken makes. Yeah. I was just like, is this supposed to be a thing? Anyway, shows up in his hot-ass chicken suit. You know it's hot under there. Like, he's doing too much. After David was Chris...
Now, let me tell you all something.
I'll let you take this one, Justine.
Let me tell you all something, okay?
Oh, God.
Chris came out the limo looking as regular could be, right? He had on a kooky-looking jacket, right? And then he gets out by saying he wants to impress Uncle Gary. There, I was, like, sold.
Yep, already. Absolutely. Yep, he paid attention.
And then he comes out, y'all, with the gospel choir. Like,
full
songs,
on.
Kingdom Choir at the local Baptist church.
Ebenezer Baptist and First Episcopal Church of Jesus Christ. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It was amazing. And they made up a whole song. They put God into it. He was bringing Jesus into the Bachelor Christopher. Oh, my God. I loved it.
It was cute. It was definitely a good... Definitely a good entrance. I love that he tied in the Uncle Gary bit because that's her father figure now.
Right.
And he was a tough cookie, if you remember from when Ari went home. So Mr. Chris did his homework. He paid attention. Loved it. So he was the last guy, right? Last guy out the limo? Yes, last guy out the limo. So in the house, all the guys are all excited. You know, they're all talking about Becca, how much they love her. She's the girl next door. And... Which, can we talk about that real quick? What does that mean? Can my black ass be a girl next door? Because I think not. I think no one would ever describe me as that. I'm just saying. Could we retire this phrase? Because it gives me vibes of, it can only be classified for a white girl.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just don't think it's fair. I don't like this phrase. It triggers me in a way.
I don't like it at all.
Weird. Anyway, so she's the girl next door, total package. She's classy. They're all just like, you know, swooning over her. She comes in, they're cheering, she gives her little speech and all of that. So first guy to steal her is Connor, mm-hmm. my dude with the capris. And Connor is 25, so I just can't take him seriously.
I know. Like, at all.
I just can't.
And isn't he a fitness trainer?
Yeah, that's the personal trainer.
Yeah.
I just, 25 is so... There's no way you looking for a husband or wife.
A wife.
You're looking for a wife.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. Unless Connor was from small town Southern America.
Yeah.
Where they do that. Like, they all get married, like, very young, and it's, like, a very common thing. Then, but Connor's from, wasn't he from, like, West Palm Beach
or
something?
Yeah, he's from Florida, yeah.
From Florida, by way of, like, the North, probably. And, you know, for damn sure, we don't do no getting married at 25, so stop. After Connor, Clay got his little one-on-one time with her.
He's so cute. But he has such a bad voice. I really don't like his voice at all.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
He didn't want to say it.
It's so sad.
I know. Maybe. It could be the nerves. Yeah. It could be the nerves. Yeah. I feel like he should have some baritone coming out of that body.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah. He just doesn't sound very confident to me.
So anyways, they have a little date set up. He's playing with Clay. Because his name's Clay. That was cute. And him and Becca have a lot in common. He's also from small town Midwest.
Yep.
Population 3,000.
No street lights.
And it was just cute. He's such a nice, like, harmless guy, I think.
Yeah.
Just, like, a nice, adorable man.
Mm-hmm.
So, after Clay, we have John, the software engineer,
mm-hmm.
who apparently built the app for Venmo. Sign me up, John, if you don't make it to the end, please. I am single and broke as shit. I make a very good trophy wife, sugar baby, all that shit. You know John got it made.
Yep.
He is successful mm-hmm. and smart as shit because he can code. And that is what you want to go for, ladies. Don't be going for these ballers.
No.
You want to go for a man who has some programming languages under his skills section of his resume. I'm just saying.
And he's smart enough to not own Venmo, but just develop the app for it. So he's
right.
just continually making money off of... the software.
Yes.
That is so smart.
The software and the licensing or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, yes. After John was your boo, Chris, gospel choir dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he talks about his grandparents. They were married after 2 months.
58 years they've been married.
58
yeah.
years. So stories like that, you only hear from people's, like, mothers and grandfathers. And
yeah.
Like, those generations. Our generation, you'll barely ever hear people getting married after, like, 2 months. And
yeah, no.
It lasting. after Chris was, oh, God, light-eyed nigga Chris. Chris Dawn. Who had another cute little date
Very
little setup,
cute.
One-on-one setup. Brought Becca outside. They're going to play basketball. He had a whole, like, basketball net. Yeah, that's what's going on. I'm so
basketball
not
net.
A sports person. I'm like, what is that? Structure? And that? Yes. He had the whole, like, basketball net set up, and they're, you know, shooting and things like that. And then he dunks over her, like, had her hold the ball, and then did some, like, Michael Jordan shit, and... literally leapt over her and
dunked.
Like, that shit was fire. That was pretty cool.
Hey, first of all, his
really
leg lifted a little too high. He's also a little too flexible. He looks too good. I don't like... I don't trust him. I don't like this at all. I don't like this one bit.
Chris Dawn has been laying it down,
mm-hmm.
getting these ladies since... middle school.
Yeah, I was about to say 7th
honest.
Grade. Easily 7th grade.
Since Yeah, easily.
Yep.
Easily. So he knows how to, you know, work and move and, you know, do the right little wink and,
mm-hmm.
you know, show off his, you know, all the little moves there. He, oh God, he's somebody you gotta, like, just, you gotta really just watch yourself around.
Yeah,
him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust myself at all.
No, not in the least.
At all. Mm-mm. And so, yeah, so he do his little, you know, dunk and all that stuff. We see Ricky, he's, you know, doing salsa with her. Mm-hmm. We got Jean Blanc, he gave her a poem, or it was like a candle.
It was a candle. I just saw the poem and started laughing.
It was like engraved in, I thought it was like a candle. He put the top on a candle or something.
What? Oh my god. Okay.
just seems like done. after Jean Blanc, we have Joe, grocery store guy.
Yeah.
This accent, man. I'm so... I don't know why I never knew, like, a Chicago accent. It's so strong. He's talking about his, like, grocery store and the south side of Chicago. He just reminded me... I wrote that. He reminded me of a character from, like, Law & Order SVU. Which I know takes place in New York.
What?
But he just has this, like... he has this, like, just, like, a... Joe, average Joe, yeah. Kind of, yeah. You know, I run the grocery yeah. store. And yes. You know what I mean?
Like around the way dude.
Around the way Joe.
Yeah.
Like, yes. She looked super uncomfortable sitting next to her.
And I don't know why. I guess because my favorite place on earth is the grocery store. So I would literally be talking to him for 30 minutes.
Oh, they were just sitting also very close. I think he was sitting a little bit too close to her, like the spatial limits were
too close to her, and he wasn't making any like physical contact, like confident movement of any sort. So.
No. So just like his hot breath just like yeah. too close to her. And so she was very uncomfortable. okay, so after Joe, we have Blake. They were having a moment. I was really loving this.
Yeah, me too.
I love watching just like genuine connections mm-hmm. just happen organically. So Blake tells Becca that tells us, all of us, all of America yeah. really, because the camera's right there in his face, yeah. so he knows what he's doing. That he recently ended a pretty serious relationship. And so now he knows like what he wants mm-hmm. and what he's looking for. And then he said something that really struck a chord with Becca. It actually struck a chord with me. It made me think differently for a second. Where he said, because he had recently broken up with this last, you know, girl, saying, you know, if I could love the wrong person so much, how much can I actually love the right person? Yep. And I really, really love that. And Becca was like, you know, fireworks were going off. She's yep. like, oh my god, I've literally said that exact same thing with my friends. Like, she was just going on and on and on. And they were just really, you know, just naturally, organically vibing. Mm-hmm. Loved it. So, the first impression rose comes out. Did Chris Harrison bring it out? I don't even...
I guess Chris Harrison brought it out and put it on that, like, quartz stone, whatever the hell that just is.
Useless. I didn't even remember seeing him. The rose appeared. So, first impression rose comes out. And so now you know it's game on. Mm-hmm. So if you hadn't talked to her, you need to strategize, figure something mm-hmm. out. So, you know, everybody has their little gimmick. Lincoln, he brought her this little bracelet from Nigeria. Nick had this, like, back vibrating.
Oh my god, it was so strange.
So strange. He looked like he stopped at the mall, went to Sharper Image.
Brookstone, yeah.
Yeah, Brookstone, and bought this damn, like, back massage thing. I don't know what the significance of this was.
Yeah, it was weird.
Just creepy. Yeah. Homeboy in the chicken suit was, you know, dancing around.
Yeah, just being an idiot. Yeah.
Just being a damn fool. And she... I hate when you have to... The Bachelorette feels like they have to pander to the person in the gimmick.
Yeah.
By saying, like, you just look like you're so fun. Mm-hmm. Like, you just, you know, you're so free. Like, this nigga's in a chicken suit. Stop! The madness! This is stupid, Becca.
Yeah.
Like, come on. He also is 25, so it's just
no for bye.
Me. It's just no. Then after David, we have Captain of MAGA America,
MAGA, yep.
Garrett. He's got her fly fishing in the pool.
And this here was my get me to Wakanda moment.
Oh, me too, girl.
Oh my god, this man had her going fly fishing. He brought her a fly fishing thing, and he brought it out and was like, oh yeah, this is obviously for fly. Obviously? Is it? Is it obvious, Garrett, that that's for fly fishing? Because I thought it was a tassel.
Right. It was like the little feather thing that he had.
Oh my god.
I don't know.
I learned a lot in that scene.
I don't know what that's for. I don't. It was.
That's a brand of white America that I just don't ever see, encounter, and nor do I ever want to see or encounter.
Nope, never.
I just desperately wanted to get back to the basketball court with Chris, where I felt comfortable.
Oh my god. And she said something
get me back there, please.
Really interesting. She said, Garrett reminds me of home.
Oh!
Yep.
Oh, Becca, uh-huh. You're killing me.
Mm-hmm. More on that later, because I have a theory. More on that later.
Okay. Because yep. Becca... Okay, so we'll get to the theory later then, because...
Oh, God.
So, now we have some drama. Some real drama about to pop off. So, Chris, Gospel Chris, he brings aside fine-ass Kriston and fine-ass Blake. And... lets them know that he has some intel that there's a guy in the house that might not be here for the best intentions. And it's Chase. So, apparently, Chase and Chris are, I guess, both from Orlando.
I guess, yeah.
And Chase's ex, after Chase was on After the Final Rose, Chase's ex texted Chris saying that Chase is not there for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. All he does is hang out with his boys. He's not serious about finding love. He's just trying to revamp his, like, marketing business or, you know, whatever the hell. And so Chris is asking Kriston and Blake what he should do, if he should say something. Now, what was your take on this? What did you think he should do?
I definitely thought he should have said something to Chase. Mm-hmm. For sure. I definitely would have. Mm-hmm. If I got a text like that from someone's ex-boyfriend, I definitely would have said something.
I was a little bit on the fence of whether he should go to Becca because...
Yeah, no.
I feel like you need... If you're going to go to Becca or the Bachelorettes or the lead with some intel, it has to be something very, very concrete.
Yeah. Yep.
And his intel was a little, like, he said, she said, somebody texted me.
Yeah, it was an opinion.
It was kind of opinion-based. Yeah. But, I mean, it worked out in his favor anyways.
Yeah.
And because Chase ended up just being a fucking idiot. So, Chris does approach Chase. Mm-hmm. And Chase is just all over the place. First, he claims that the girl that texted him, he only knew her for a month. Then, right. He said he only knew her for 2 weeks. Just, already this nigga can't get his lies straight.
Yeah.
Like... So then Chase, he's like, I need to get ahead of this scandal mm-hmm. before it just, you know, hits front page news. So he goes and grabs Becca, and he's sitting with Becca, and he is just a bumbling idiot. Just...
This was so close to getting my Nigga You Ain't Shit award.
Mm-hmm.
It was a close contender, because this was really mm-hmm. bad. He was, like, really this slandering this girl.
Yeah. So... He's explaining to Becca, he's like, yeah, so there's this text, but, you know, it was nothing. And so she's like, what did the text say? Like, what did the text say?
Yeah.
And he's like, I didn't see the text. And so he's like, okay. I mean, Becca's like, okay, bring in Chris, because you ain't saying shit.
Right.
So Chase brings in Chris, and Becca's having a two-on-one moment, as she said. And Chris explains that this was a text from... I got a text from Chase's ex. Chase immediately was like, nope.
Yeah.
She's not an ex.
Yeah.
I only dated this girl for a few weeks. Get it straight.
Which, Chase, do you not realize that you're going to only be dating the girl you're sitting next to for a few weeks?
Right.
Like, making that the factor of her being insignificant is not going to work in this scenario.
it ain't going to work. Like, stop. Right. And so, yeah, so he's kind of throwing this, whoever this girl is, you know, get it straight. It was 2 years ago, yada, yada, yada. It did remind me a little bit, this whole scenario, of DeMario.
Yes, me too.
How DeMario had that girl who... I mean, we still don't know who this girl was, but he was claiming she was just like a random from Bumble that he like smashed once or twice or whatever. And she came in just ready to throw him under the bus. And so Chase, same thing. He got a homegirl that he's alleging to have dated only 2 weeks. No one really knows. Mm-hmm. And is throwing her under the bus saying that, you know, she wasn't shit. So you can't believe anything she says, essentially, is what he's saying. Either way, Chase, you're shady.
Yeah.
Like, either way, like, there's, I believe there's a little bit of truth in just a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. So if she's going out her way to text Chris some nonsense, clearly you ain't shit.
And so. I don't believe that they only dated for a month. I think they dated for way longer than that.
Yeah, he couldn't get it straight from the get-go. Mm-hmm. He first said it was a month, then he said 2 weeks, then this, then that. Like,
no.
Just lies from the from Jump Street. Mm-hmm. So already you ain't shit. So Becca, after that, she's like, you know what? I don't even know. She doesn't know what to think about all of this. So she already is on edge because she's like, okay, it's night one. There's some guys here with shady intentions. Mm-hmm. Like, let's get it going. So this immediately prompted her to go pull homeboy... Jake I can't remember his name. Jake aside, who is the guy that she knows from Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. So she pulls him over to have a little confrontation where she says, like, look, we've hung out a couple times with our, I guess, our big group of friends or whatnot. And all that time, there was never really any interest from you. Mm-hmm. You never really talked to me. We never really had a thing. So what the fuck are you doing here?
Like, and that is why he gets my Nigga You Ain't Shit award.
Mm-hmm.
Because why were you there? If you had the chance to get with her before in real ass life, why did you just take that chance then?
Exactly.
And I didn't look at his profession, but I guess he's just trying to escape Minneapolis? Like, what is the point of this? Like, why are you
Express
here?
Ticket to Hollywood? Yeah. Like, what?
How? You want to make it to paradise, my guy? Like, what are you trying to do?
That's the thing. Now everybody's tensions are dubious because there's so much that you can get from being on The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. There's social media fame. You could be on The Bachelor and you could be on Bachelor in Paradise. Yep. You could be the next Bachelor.
Yep.
You could just get Instagram money. Mm-hmm. There's like so many things that you can get from this that if you show any inkling of being like questionable at all, you gotta go.
Yep.
So his whole rebuttal was that he only met her once. He's like, I only met you that one time at the Christmas party.
So talk about this Christmas party.
This damn Christmas party. And she was like, no, nigga, I met you many a time.
The way she said it, I was like, we've all been there. The way she was like, no, I've met you before.
Before. Let's not do this. You're not going to pretend like you don't know me.
That voice inflection, it goes across all races. We all do that.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, no, I don't think so. We've definitely met before.
Before? So you know you're talking to somebody who just straight lying to your face.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so they're just going back and forth. He's like, no. He said, he's like, I only have one conscious recollection of meeting.
Relax.
Relax. Like, the minute he said that, she was like, okay, you gotta go.
You have got to go home.
You've got to go. She's like, I don't even care what you have to say. I don't trust you. The minute you came out the limo, I didn't trust you.
Yeah.
What are you doing here? You're not explaining yourself. You gotta go. This was my moment where I said, Becca, you
Yes!
Because she stood up for herself.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't even trying to hear his explanation or give him the time of day. She's like, you gotta go.
Yep.
You gotta go. Jake did not take this well at all.
No, he looked like he was gonna start crying.
He looked like he was about to start crying. He looked like he was about to curse her out.
Yeah, yeah.
He looked like he was about to, like, turn over a table. Mm-hmm. Like, he was trying to keep it together because the cameras are in his face, but he also, like, he was, like, seething mad. So yeah, he went on some weird explanation about he's had a very transformative year and he's like a new person.
And if we look at the timeline of this was in like what, like March, April that they were doing this?
I think so.
And yeah. Megan, didn't you just meet her at the Christmas party? What are you talking about? A transformative year? What do you mean?
It's been 2 months, 60 days, my dude. I didn't even think about that. Like, you just allegedly met her. How much change have you made?
And no one has had more of a transformative 30 days than Becca.
Than Becca. So stop.
Yeah.
Just full stop right there. So yeah, his defense was just terrible. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was the editing. They didn't really show his explanation. But yeah, no. I guess whatever explanation he had was just dumb. So like, she didn't trust him. Nobody at home trusted him. He had to go.
Yep.
What Jake should have done, if he really was someone with any brain cells, he should have gotten ahead of this before.
Yeah.
Like, she pulled him aside. He, when she came in from, after all the limo entrances, he should have been the first one to pull her aside.
Yep.
To explain himself. Like, look, I know we know each other. You're probably wondering what I'm doing here. Mm-hmm. And then drop his little whatever excuse. But he let the whole night ride out, and she pulled him aside. Like, by then, she's just like, what are you doing here? Like,
and it was overshadowed by other people's drama.
And he's just inside, just, like, chilling with the cameras.
Yeah.
And trying to sell whatever the fuck he's trying to sell. Like, she saw right through it. Just bye. So he had to go. That shit was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't even make it through the... He didn't even make it to the first roast.
I was like, oh my god, he left and it's still nighttime. That's how you know it was early.
That's how you know it was early. Anyways, moving right along, we have Wills.
Oh my god, I love Wills.
Black Eye Wills. Love Wills, yeah. Right?
Love him.
Yeah. So he showed her his Aspecto Patronus, whatever, Harry Potter tattoo.
See, and you know I don't get into all that. That is too close to Satan for me.
Oh, just
that is too close to the devil.
Oh my god. You don't like Harry Potter?
I never got into Harry Potter like that. I read the first three books and then I was kind of over it. I know. Sorry.
Have you watched the movies?
No, I didn't watch any of the movies, no.
Oh my god. Okay, we can't do this. So, he had his Harry Potter tattoo, which also means something in Latin. Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, she was loving it. Really, really into his, you know, little nerdiness.
Yeah.
And then Becca goes inside to grab the first impression rose. Okay. So last episode, I guessed that Colton, my baby daddy, was going to get the first impression rose. Who did you say?
I might have said Garrett.
Based on watching this episode, I was almost 100% positive it was going to go to Blake. Because they had a whole moment.
Me too. Yeah, I thought so too.
I was so thrown away when she called Garrett. Yeah. So, she calls Garrett aside. He gets the first impression rose. I guess she really loved the minivan, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the fly fishing the lake. And he reminds her of home or whatever. That line troubles
me. So, that's the thing. This is what I think. And this is why I think Garrett is on the show. I think Garrett is on the show to try and test Becca to see if she's still up to her old ways. Because I think the reason why she's single is because she goes for guys like Garrett. And then she gets to know them and they end up being horrible.
And when you say guys like Garrett, you mean like these white supremacist crazies?
But I mean the physical stature of them and their humor.
Okay.
And their like confidence. Because there's something very confident about being a white supremacist in America. Like, it's easy. So you're walking around like pretty, you know. You have a vibe about you, right? That I think she's attracted to because it's a very confident vibe. I think that Russell, what was his name? Who? Her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, Russ? Russ?
Ross. Ross.
Ross. Ross. Ross, yes.
I think Ross had that same vibe. And I think that he's just here almost as a test. And she failed.
Oh, God. She failed already. She gave the first impression rose to this guy. Yep. Oh my god. Mm-hmm. See, this is how I know if I was Bachelorette off rip, before anyone even pulls me aside, I come in, I do my little speech after the limo entrances. First question. Who here voted for Trump? Raise your hand.
Yes.
Okay, y'all can exit right
now. Everybody has got to leave. There's no talking.
Just gotta go. No talking. Nope. Just off rip. You have to leave. Mm-hmm. So she ain't do that. So now she's getting swindled by these, you know, the fly fishing minivan driving foolishness. And he's a crazy conservative nutbag. Yeah. And yeah, I think it is a test mm-hmm. because she goes for that look, I guess, and that on the surface values, yep. Midwestern, you know, nice values, whatever. And really, she should be getting to know these guys deeper, mm-hmm. faster. So yeah, she gives him the rose, and they have this dry ass, passionless kiss. It was not. All I kept thinking was Rachel and Brian's kiss mm-hmm. from the Rachel season, where he literally ate her head, like chomped off her entire face. That was the most intense makeout ever, and that was a first impression rose kind of kiss.
Yeah,
like woof. I remember when me and you watched that first episode. I so wish we had the podcast during.
Yeah, me too.
Rachel, me, you, and our other friend, shout out to Eloise, were just hollering like, "Wow! Oh my god!" like a horny little schoolgirl, like getting our whole lives watching them deeply make out. Yeah. Like, oh my god! But that was a kiss. Mm-hmm. That little dry ass, you know, whatever the fuck that was between Garrett and Becca, that was a kiss. Fresh after that, it's time for the rose ceremony. Mm-hmm. Six people are going home. Chase is just super worried.
Losing it, he needs to depend. And Chase is dying.
Dying. Can't stop talking about how Chris threw his ass under the bus, claiming he would have never done the same.
Lies.
Which, lies. You know, if you had any piece of intel on anybody yep. in that house, you were going to drop that first chance you got. So, stop. So he's going on and on and on. You already know, based on how much airtime he's getting with talking, that he's probably going home.
Right.
Either he's going home or Chris is going mm-hmm. home. Like, one of them it just wasn't going to work. So he's doing his whole thing. First, Rose goes to Lincoln. And then it just seemed like every black guy in the house got the rose.
Yeah.
It was a steady stream. Yes.
Yep.
After Lincoln, we had Blake, so throw in Blake. Then we had Ricky, Jean Blanc, Criston, and Willis. Wills. All black guys. I don't know who. I was very excited at first, but then I was like, wait a second. Who orchestrated this? who edited this? Yeah. So anyways, so all our guys got roses. Then, you know, Rose, lots of little roses. Now Leo. Leo had a little moment of insecurity mm-hmm. in his little confessional where he said, "I'm one of the different looking guys here," because he has his long hair and his beard and all that
right,
stuff.
Right.
And he made a little joke. He's looking out at a sea of highway patrol officers. Okay, Leo.
What does that mean?
All I kept thinking was, how do you think the token people of color who have been on this show literally for decades, how they feel? Right. My dude, right. You have long hair and a beard. Yeah. You are white.
Things that are a choice.
Yes, things that are a choice. At the end of the day, you're white and it's 2018. Everybody loves long hairs and beards. Right. What are you talking about? Yeah. About, like, I look different than everyone here, and I'm looking out at a sea of all these, like, white highways of patrol officers. Which I think what he was getting with that, I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I guess I don't understand it.
Like, highway patrol, when I think highway patrol officers, I think just, like, a white, clean-cut,
yeah,
like, generic white man number three. Mm-hmm. Like, which, as I said, I think half the guys in the house are stunners, and then the other half are just, like, just generic, nondescript white men. I think that's what he was talking about. But my dude, like, stop with this. You chose to grow out that hair. You chose to have that beard. And men with beard and hair are having a moment. Mm-hmm. So what are you talking about that you're so scared you won't get chosen? How do you think all them black guys in the house, there's only six of them, and 25 guys.
Right.
They really are thinking, is she going to choose
me? Exactly.
So ain't nobody crying a river for you and your long hair. Go sit down. And he ended up getting a rose anyway. Yep. So really go have several seats, Mr. Leo. So roses, roses, roses. The last rose ends up going to Chris, who was standing right next to Chase.
And this was my Becca UI moment when she eliminated Chris.
And she, no, not Chris, Chase.
Oh, sorry, Chase. Chase. Oh my God, not my boo, gospel Chris, Chase. Because she just didn't want a DeMario. She just didn't want that situation. And so she just nipped it in the bud. And the fact that she nipped two of those situations in the bud in one night.
Yes.
Becca, you are a girl.
Yeah, because what she could have... I wouldn't have been shocked if Chase got a rose, because that in my head would have been like a producer pick. You know, they keep stupidness around just for the drama. Yeah. But I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but she was like, nope, I'm not doing this. Send his ass home and send this other dude that y'all scraped up from my friend network. Send his ass home too, because we're not doing this. So yeah, Becca's all right. So we do have to say goodbye to some POCs. Darius had to go home, who, you know, he was not our favorite going into the season, because he was, you know, looking her up and down like she was a snack on after the final rose. We didn't really get to see much of him, but you know, he's gotta go. He went home. And Christian.
Ugh.
Christian, born in Mexico, deep voice, fine accent. Didn't get to see much of him. He had to go. So saying goodbye to those. And then also Camille.
Oh, he had to go.
He had to go, because that nigga ain't shit. He had to go. He kept going on and on about how embarrassed he was. He just cares about his image. Exactly. Like, that's all. He's the social media participant.
Right.
Foolishness person. So he definitely had to go. Grant also had to go. Just not cute.
Boring.
Chase went, we know. And Joe.
Oh, this broke my heart.
Oh, Joe. You won't get to live out your the grocery store.
No, I will. I'm going to find him in Chicago. I mean...
Joe, if you are listening for whatever reason to this podcast, holla at your girl.
twoblackgirlsoneRose@gmail.com But I'm sad we didn't get to see like a hometown or like a one-on-one date with him. Like, I really want to see more
really
of him.
Sad. And I think on the last episode, I had him as one of my hometown predictions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you too. So peace out to Joe. And as they're walking out, the sun is shining.
Yep.
That's how you know all these people right now. They are all delirious at this point, because they are drunk, hungry, and haven't slept in a smooth 48 hours. So I feel so bad for them, because you know it was the longest night ever. And that was the premiere episode.
That was
My God. We do have a preview, though.
Yeah.
A pretty epic looking preview.
Good one.
Oh my God. Now, we know the Bachelor producers or the Bachelor editors deserve all kinds of Oscars and Academies.
Yeah.
So this season can really be a dud, but they at least make the preview look like fire. So Becca, so from the preview, first of all, Becca, her styling is always on point.
Amazing.
Did you notice? Every outfit she has on, hairstyle, everything that is to come, she just looks impeccable. So that I super appreciate. We see a lot of Becca and Wills.
Very
Wills
exciting.
Wills with the Harry Potter tattoo. Yep. We got Jean Blanc saying he's falling in love.
So here's a prediction of mine.
Okay.
Are we doing predictions yet or no?
Yeah, we'll go right ahead.
I feel like Jean Blanc is going to pull a Tia. And he is going to say that he has feelings for Ms. Girl.
Oh, God. But, next
week? 2 weeks.
God. Okay, so we can't read too much into this. The Jean Blanc saying he's falling in love.
Nope.
Because one would assume if you're saying you're falling in love, that means you've made it to at least episode like 5 or 6.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But
no.
If he's, if he has Tia tendencies, then that's probably coming next week. So yeah, we have Jean Blanc saying he's falling in love. We have Blake saying he's falling in love.
No surprise.
We have Colton saying he's in love.
Like, declared statement.
Shattered my heart.
Aww.
And we also see Colton on a boat with Becca.
Yep.
One-on-one boat dates, that usually is like, you've made it to the top four.
Far in, yeah.
You've far in. If you're on a yacht and it's one-on-one, then you've really made it far.
Yep.
So we know Colton's going to be there for a while. Then we got Becca bawling her eyes out. And then we have a whole lot of Lincoln, who apparently is going to be this season's villain. What?
Yeah.
No one saw that coming.
No, he set up to be like the cute one.
Yeah, Lincoln's been the cute one with the little accents.
All nervous.
Fan favorite. Yeah. All nervous. Someone in the preview called him a pathological liar. And there's just a lot of scenes of him looking just devious.
Mm-hmm.
So Lincoln's going to be a villain, which is very disappointing to see. And I just never want to see any person of color painted in a bad light on this here show. So he better be a true, true villain.
Yeah, this better be personality based.
Yeah, right. Just personality. Like, he's an actual pathological liar.
Right.
He's doing some nonsense that nobody can stand by, even if he is black. So interested to see what that's going to be. We see Jordan, the freaking model from Crystal River.
Yeah.
Quote unquote model. He's on it looks like a 2-on-1 with the chicken suit dude.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a thing. We see Colton on a 1-on-1 dinner with Becca where he reveals that he's a virgin.
And he says that he's nervous about doing, what is this? What is it called again?
Oh, yes. He was nervous about doing a fantasy suite.
So he makes it really far.
He makes it very, I didn't even think about that. If he's contemplating fantasy suites and talking about virginity and all that stuff, that means he makes it to fantasy suites.
Yeah, like he's like, oh shit, I'm going,
and I need to. He basically had a whole moment where he reveals to her that he's never had sex, and he's not. He said he's not saving himself for marriage. He's just waiting for the right one.
Mm-hmm.
So when he said this, I literally, because I'm already obsessed with him, like I stood up, like screamed at the television screen, and then blacked out because like. I just really admire that. That is such a unicorn of a man. Mm-hmm. Like, at that age, I don't even know what age he is. 20, whatever. If he could even be 21.
Yeah.
A man that looks like that, you just assume that he's been having sex since, like, high school. So for him to have remained a virgin and is true to his values and that he's just looking for the right woman, very admirable, and just makes him even more attractive to me. Just beside myself with Colton. Can't. So after I woke up from my blackout, I missed some stuff. I literally blacked out after he did his whole reveal. I might have missed some stuff, but we have Becca just like talking to the guy, saying all she wants is honesty.
Yes.
So there's going to be a whole bunch of, I don't know if she's talking about Lincoln and his pathological lying, or other guys are just going to be just straight douchebags. And then there's this whole dramatic scene where someone's being carted off in an ambulance.
Yeah.
And someone mentioned something about Blake,
I think,
being
like
in a pool of blood.
Blake blacked out and a pool of blood everywhere.
Blood or... Oh, God.
But you know these master editors, you already know.
I know. Every season, there's like an ambulance.
Yes.
And every season, it's someone who like bucked their toe
and
like tripped on a rock and like all of a sudden it's like this dramatic scene with the ambulance. I can't. And then at the end we see Becca saying that she's in love with two guys. Mm-hmm. We don't know if she tells them she's both in love,
right?
Because that would have been, and that could be
what
her
Ari
where
did.
She feels like she did what Ari did. We don't know. But yeah, at the end, we also just see a whole lot more of Colton and a few more clips of Wills.
A lot of Wills in multiple outfits on a beach.
Right. So that has to be multiple dates. So that means Wills might be around
on a
for
vacation
a while.
Spot. That's a good sign.
Right, yep. Right. That means he made it to some destination dates. And that was the episode.
So good.
I'm so excited for this season.
Yeah, me too.
I have so many like strong feelings about a lot of the guys in the house. Good, bad. I mean, it ranges from Colton, who I'm like gonna have babies with.
Yeah.
To Garrett, who like at this point we can burn them at the stake. I don't know. So yeah, and everything in between. I'm just very excited for this season. So that's the episode, guys. Yay. We'll be back next week, of course. We want to remind you to please rate, review, and subscribe to us on whatever platform you are listening to us on. You could also always interact with us by email, Twitter, and Facebook now.
Yeah.
Our Twitter, we do live tweet, and we just tweet a whole bunch of mess throughout the week. Our Twitter is, the handle is the number 2, BLK, girls, the number 1, Rose.
And our email address is the number 2, black girls, the number 1, Rose, at gmail.com.
Yep, and search 2 Black Girls, 1 Rose on Facebook. Yep. And we'll be back next week. Yay. The Bachelorette is here,
it's
y'all.
It's on, guys.
It's on and popping. It's going to be a good one. Oh, my God. Ooh, I love it. How am I going to sleep now? I'm, like, so sauced up on this wine. Jesus. Oh, Lord. All right. Until next week, guys.
See you later.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.